First, 19, first of all, she says, I can tell you're a man of God. And immediately her religious demons kick in, and she says, verse 20, our fathers worshipped, and off she goes, and pride speaks, religious pride. Boy, oh boy, hey, I've been in this church for a long time. Don't you talk to me like that's religious. That's a demon, right? They said the devil's a liar. Yeah, that's a religious demon. The devil's a liar. Telling me about, well, here's how we practice our religion. Here's what we do. Here's how, oh, here's what I will and here's what I don't. Excuse me? Now we're into the justification game and you're wondering why the water's not flowing. There's religious pride there. It'll dam it up. I'm a good man. Oh, brother, I can tell you here now that well's going to dry right up right where you're at. You might start sucking in dust right now. Look at verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. That word true. Now, number five is idolatry. You can't have true worshippers without having false ones. How many of you know that? If it's just all worshippers. True. Now we're into idolatry. We worship our house. We worship our car. We worship our clothes. We worship our face. We worship everything. But God wants true worshippers. We put on our Christianity look and go to church. But God wants true worshippers. You see, I'm talking here about the Holy Spirit inside you help you to become the priest that God wants you to be. I mean, we touched on this long list in the Old, and we skipped the list of 20 in the New Testament of ways people praise and worship. And frankly, I don't know about you, but I find it intimidating. I'm intimidated by the fact that David spun around and danced all over the place. I'm intimidated by screaming and shouting and extolling. I'm intimidated by the people who decorate God with their praise and adoration. But you know, that's how it's done. I believe that's why we don't have another verse. We run out of verses. We run out of options. We're like that woman, gimme. Gimme or I'm not going to worship. Yeah. Gimme or I'm not going to praise and rejoice. That's what I want, gimme. Oh, I have no husband, honey. Hey. Yeah, I know. What does that say about your lifestyle? Well, we don't speak truly. We boast in our religion, we're proud, we're not true worshippers. And then there was one more thing in verse 25. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he'll tell us all things, see. Don't you love to postpone the bowing of your knee? One day I will bow my knee and know he's Lord. Verse 26. Jesus said, I who speak to you am he. I underline the I and the am he. In other words, I'm here right now, darling. You're making all of these tomorrow promises to God, but I'm here right now. You've got some control issues. You're in control of your life. You're in control of the way it is. And dear Lord, you don't want to surrender that control to the wellspring that's inside you. And that's why he can't make anything out of you. You want your hands on the steering wheel. You want to set the pace. You want to open and shut the door. You want to say, I've got to have it this way. It's not going to happen. My way or the highway, as they say. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, people live uptight lives because of sin. See, I can say that. How can you say that? I can say that lovingly and kindly because I know that when the Holy Ghost comes inside you, he's a wellspring and you become, it says. You become a gusher. And if you haven't become a gusher, then I know you're damned up. And if you're damned up, it's only sin that'll damn the Holy Ghost, but he's the Holy Ghost. And it's up to us to say, dear God, what's damning this thing up?